We gather today on this last Sunday of October to celebrate the Festival of the Reformation, remembering how in 1517 Martin Luther posted the 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, especially the first thesis where Martin Luther said when Jesus bids people to come and repent, he wished the entire life of a Christian to be a life of repentance. Our order of service is slightly different this morning, so I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. We have no opening hymn this morning. That would be pretty obvious as we start. Some of the normal liturgy is changed or substituted with hymns. So instead of the Gloria in Excelsis, we'll be singing the hymn, All Glory Be to God Alone. And then in the communion liturgy, after the proper preface, we will not be singing the Psalms, holy, 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 in its normal place, but we will sing holy, holy, holy after the consecration of communion. We are not singing the New Divinis today, but we're singing a couple of stanzas of the hymn of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. So I say this in part for you as a roadmap. I say it as a reminder for myself, and also to Anne, so that we can all be on the same page with the playing, the singing, and where we are in the liturgy. Today, in our prayers, we're praying for Randy Hunter's daughter, Lauber. Have you heard anything else, Marge? Okay. He's on hospice care, and the end is drawing close. We'll be praying for Ann Bennett. She's traveling to visit her sister in Virginia for the next week and a half. So she'll be gone for a couple of Sundays, leaving tomorrow. And we're praying also for the son-in-law of the Farabaughs, Jeff Dimmick. He's having a heart surgery on Friday. So we'll keep the three of them in these three needs in our prayers today. With that, let's join together in the opening prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, not to us but to you be all glory, honor, and praise in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant that to us may be his free and full forgiveness. Help us to live by grace through faith for Christ's sake, and grant your blessing to us now in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord,
and shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants.
None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
In the city of our God.
Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers.
Consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels.
That you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the third chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made a man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is our text. Let's do a little thought experiment with these words of Jesus. What if Jesus had said these words in an age of fake news and fact-checking? How would his words be heard? How would his words be received? Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth." To which Pilate responds, "Fake news. What is truth? There's no truth." So cynical. So dismissive. Conversation over. Pilate doesn't care one whit about truth. He doesn't care whether truth exists. He doesn't care whether truth can be known. He doesn't care that Jesus is innocent or that he's the Son of God. What matters to Pilate is power, not truth. And he's got all the power. Why, he's got the power of Rome behind him, the power of Roman legions and the Roman emperor Tiberius Caesar. And whatever servants Jesus has, they're no match for the power of Rome. So who cares about the truth? Or again, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To which the Jews who believed in him say, "Fact check, we're the seed of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. You can't fool us, Jesus. We're already free." They're not buying it. They know what slaves are, and they know that they're not slaves. They don't care that all the promises made to Abraham are pointing to Jesus. What matters to them is that they themselves are descendants of Abraham, a free man. Why? They claim the land as their inheritance. Whatever freedom Jesus is preaching, they don't care about it. They're already free in every way that matters to them. Jesus says, "You will know the truth." But it's not just Pilate who treats truth as fake news. Not just Pilate who's skeptical of truth. Not just Pilate who sees power, everything in terms of raw power. The world today is filled with Pilates. Truth, you say? What is truth? Power is all that matters. The winner gets to decide what truth is. The victor gets to define what truth means. Or we hear that truth is subjective, personal, private. Jesus has his truth, you have your truth, and I have my truth, and don't you dare try to impose his truth or your truth on me. Why, truth itself is considered fake news. And I wonder how much of Pilate is inside of us as well. I can tell you there's a good bit of Pilate inside of me. How often am I tempted to think of truth as something that's squishy or unknowable or that changes with the times and the circumstances? Too often. How often do I hear the truth spoken to me in love, yet I find a way to push back against it, to contradict it, or to explain it away? Too often. How often have I acted as though God's word weren't universally and completely true? How often have I put my trust in power rather than in truth? Too often. Way too often. And that question about how often have I put my trust in power rather than in truth is a question that's worth asking ourselves again and again in the next week and a half. When Jesus stood before Pilate, it was Pilate who really stood condemned. It was Pilate who was condemned before Jesus. Pilate, the truth denier. Pilate, the coward. Pilate, the disciple of power. Again, Jesus says, the truth will set you free. But it's not just the Jews who believed in him who fact-check his offer of freedom. Not just those Jews who claim to have all the freedom they need. The world today is filled with such people. Free, you say? We're already free. We've got the right to define our own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. That's what the Supreme Court told us in the case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And what could be freer than that? Getting to define our own concept of existence? I can be whoever or whatever I want. I'm totally free, baby. And how much of that is inside us as well? A great deal inside of me. How often are we tempted to think that we're already living free because we can do and say and think whatever we want? Too often. How often have we made this kind of freedom our idol? The freedom from anyone and anything else outside of us. Too often. How often does someone point out our dependency and slavery to things of this world? Maybe it's to your cell phone or to alcohol or to whatever, and we deny it. Too often. We tell ourselves that we could quit any time. We could put it down. No one owns my body. No one tells me what to do. When the Jews who believed stood before Jesus and said that they'd never been enslaved to anyone, they were totally blind to their bondage. The only free person in that conversation was Jesus, who was totally and completely free. What is truth? We've never been enslaved to anyone. Is that so? And how's that working for you? How well does it work for us to deny truth or to create our own truth? You know, reality is a pretty stubborn thing. Every time I've tried to walk straight through a wall, I've just hurt myself. You can't get around it. The created world, the world we live in, isn't a world that's easy to manipulate. You can't make things be what you want them to be, no matter how much power you have. No matter how much power someone has, they can't change the fact that 2 + 2 = 4, and that's the truth. And you can't change something that's sin into something that's not sin, or something that's bad for you into something that's good for you. There is a created reality to this world. The world is structured and it is ordered. Yes, we may not always be able to see the structure or the order of it. We may not always be able to recognize the truth, but there's truth there. God himself is true. And the world he created is true, and he made the world to express and convey that truth. And he's also given his word to us, that we may know the truth about who he is and what he's done. And how's it working, that claim that we've never been enslaved to anyone? Is it really freedom if we're enslaved to our own passions and desires? Is it really freedom if we're enslaved to our own worries and fears? Is it really freedom if I'm the one who gets to define my own concept of existence? If I'm enslaved to my cravings and wants, to myself? You see, that's what sin is. Sin is the lie that we're totally free because the only thing that we're enslaved to is ourselves. Sin is being coiled in on ourselves. Tell me just how good you are at turning your thoughts, your words, and your deeds to someone besides yourself. The moment I try to do it, I'm back thinking about me again. And you know how it was for Pilate? Pilate was the only one there who was stuck by the truth. The truth was that Jesus was innocent, and the truth was that if Pilate set him free, he was going to be in trouble with the people. And so Pilate simply threw up his hands. Who can know the truth? I wash my hands of it. Jesus, you can die. And how does it work to say that we've never been enslaved? Because the more I say that I've never been enslaved to anything, the more I find myself turning inward on myself, deeper and deeper and deeper. So Jesus comes with the truth. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." He doesn't say that everyone who is a slave to sin commits sin. That also is true, but he says something that's far more devastating to you and to me. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Do you commit sin? Do I commit sin? So what does that say about us? Never been enslaved to anyone, huh? Except myself and my own sin. Jesus has put his finger on the truth about us. Today, of course, is Reformation Sunday. And so it's worth thinking about how these things were present in the life of Martin Luther as well. You know, Martin Luther was one who knew what it was like to have power overrule truth. When he was given 24 hours to recant his writings at the Diet of Worms, Luther came back to that place and he said to the judges who were ruling over him, he said, "Unless you can convince me from Scripture and plain reason that what I've written is false, I cannot and I will not recant. My conscience is held captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." They wanted to use their power to shut down the truth. But Luther wouldn't be budged from the word of God. Luther wouldn't be budged from his Savior, Jesus Christ, who'd given his life for him. And what Luther said still stands. Power does not determine truth. Not the power of Pilate and the Roman legions, not the power of the Pope and the Roman Church, not the powers that be in our world today. Truth is God's. It comes from God. He built it into our world, which is ordered and structured, and he's revealed it in his Scriptures. And no one can take that truth away. And Martin Luther also knew what it was to be so free from others, but to be totally enslaved to oneself. He knew what it was to be in bondage to one's own sinful nature, and so to be under God's wrath. You may know the stories of Luther in his cell, knowing that he's enslaved to himself, trying as hard as he can to set himself free. But no amount of penitential works, no number of nights sleeping on a cold, hard floor, no list of days of fasting and number of prayers could set him free. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He knew what it was to be under the righteousness of the law, to be under the yoke of works. He knew what it was to be stuck on the hamster wheel of sin. And even if you're doing what you really want to do, does that make you free? Even if you love the sin that you have, are you really free? And the answer is no. Not in and of our own power. Now, we could at this point just throw up our hands and lament the state of the world. We could throw up our hands and lament the state of ourselves. But that's not what we're here to do today. The festival of the Reformation is not a victory lap for the Lutheran Church. The festival of the Reformation is not a proclamation of how we've gotten it so right and everyone else has gotten it so wrong. The festival of the Reformation is about repentance. That's why we're here today. It's about repentance, God opening our eyes to our denials of the truth and to our love of the slavery of sin so that we fall on our knees in repentance. Repentance not as a work that we do, but as a work that God does in us as he peels back the layers, as he exposes the depths of our sin, as he shows how utterly enslaved we are and how we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Repent. It was the message of John the Baptist. Repent was the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent was the message echoed by Martin Luther. When Christ calls us to repent, he bids the entire life of the Christian to be one of repentance. Day after day and hour after hour. You see, we never move past repentance. We'll never come to the point in time in this life where we'll say, "I have repented fully and perfectly and enough." And now I can move forward as not a sinner. Repentance drives us to Christ. You heard what Jesus said. He said the slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The slave has no security. The slave has no permanent place. The slave has nowhere to call home eternally. But the Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, Jesus says, you will be free indeed. And that is the truth. That is the good news. The Son has come to set you free so that you are now free indeed. You are free to live in the truth, and you are free to confess your sins and to receive His forgiveness. You are free to step out of yourself and to live in Christ. The truth is not simply an idea, but the truth is a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the truth is that He paid the price for you. The truth is that He died for your denials of the truth, and He died for the enslavement that you feel daily to sin. He died to be your Savior, and He bore the full weight of it on His shoulders. And so He saves, and He frees. And you and I find our freedom in Him. Jesus said, if you abide in My word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in My word, if you remain in My word, Jesus says, He draws us back to His word again and again and again. We do not have the freedom in ourselves, but we have the freedom through Jesus in His word. Jesus is the truth, and we have Him in His word and in His sacraments. We have Him as He comes to us day after day and Sunday after Sunday, and He gives Himself to us with all that He won on the cross. Your sins forgiven, death defeated, the devil overcome. Get out of yourself, He says, and come into Me and live. Dear friends, if the festival of the Reformation would teach us anything, it would teach us to turn to Jesus in His word and to find in that word the freedom that we need day after day after day. Abide in My word, Jesus says. Abide in My word today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life. Cling to that word, read that word, study that word, learn that word, and do it on a daily basis. I don't know what it's like for all of you sitting here, but I know that for many, this coronavirus time has actually freed up a lot of time in their lives. There are fewer commutes, there are fewer commitments, there are schedules that are more free, there is time that is often more discretionary. What would be better for us in that time than to turn to God's word and to find our freedom in Christ day after day for the rest of our lives? The good news is that a Savior has come. The Son has set you free. And this is a fact that is signed and sealed by His resurrection from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day as that guarantee that everything He had done was finished and complete, that all your sins were paid, that the truth is not only in Him, but is Christ Himself. May God strengthen us in the truth, and may God strengthen and keep us in the freedom that we have in Christ, that we may daily turn from our sin and daily follow Him in life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us.
God our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands, we commend Robert Hunter, Bud Meyer, Phyllis Morris, Phyllis Moss, Lizzie Knapp, Barbara Palamaki, Alicia Reinhardt, Jeannie Rubin, Greg Sari, Rick and Patty Silvestro, Mary Simeone, Michelle Studlian, Karen Hamill, Andrea Wetmore, Jeff Dimmick, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Give us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust you to provide for all our needs. Grant us devout and faithful rulers and good government. Keep safe all who travel, especially Anne Bennett, and give joy in time spent with family and friends. Show your mercy to all expectant mothers and the children they carry in their wombs, especially Kelsey Doskasil, Stephanie DeVito, Rachel Patterson, Abby McDermott, and Laura Jackson. Provide care and help for abortion-vulnerable women, and protect and preserve the lives of children in danger of abortion. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you. body of Christ given unto death for you. Take, drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Depart in peace. Take, eat the body of Christ given unto death for you. Take, drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless me the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.